After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, Herod asked them where the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. And they replied, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Begin with a question. What is it that you are seeking after in 2019? What is it that you would like to experience in the coming year more than anything else? Everyone, it seems, particularly at this time of the year, the beginning of a new year, is seeking after something. For most of us, what we are looking for is some quick fix, some magical way by which we might work to improve ourselves. You've made the list for yourself. This year, I'm going to resolve to lose weight. This year, I'm going to do my best to drop an unhealthy habit. This year, I'm going to see if I can find a way to develop a new skill. The thread that runs through each one of these resolutions is some sort of way that we might stumble upon that will create within us some measure of joy, some joy that adds a quality to our lives that we have never known before. Now, I'm not against any of these resolutions. The fact of the matter is that in some years I have most likely done my best to accomplish every one of the resolutions that I named. I also want to be a better person. I want to experience each year a greater measure of joy. But what I have learned over my life is the same lesson that many of you have come to learn in the course of life, and that is no resolution that we can make is something that will be guaranteed to lead us to a place of greater joy. The only way that any of us, the only way that all of us can come to that place in life where we experience greater joy is to have some fresh, new encounter with God that puts us in a place where we are moved into a position in terms of our relationship with God that we have never experienced before. Some greater, more direct movement of God in our lives where we are made more aware of God's abiding presence. Only then can we come to that experience of immeasurable joy. This Sunday, as Dr. Hatley has already mentioned, is what is known in the larger church as Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is a word that most of us are familiar with, even if we have never associated it with religious conversation. People speak of, on occasion, having these aha moments where they are able to connect dots that they have never been able to connect before, where they have been able to see patterns of events that have caused them to understand what is happening around them in a deeper way. We call these revelations epiphanies, a new insight that ideally enables me to have some deeper understanding of what everyday existence is all about. How appropriate that we talk about epiphanies in the context of worship. And in its greatest sense, its theological sense, in which we come to an understanding of God, where God reveals Himself to us in a deeper way than we have ever been able to understand the ways of God before. When we see God at work in the world, and when we come to see God at work in my life in ways that produce within me this immeasurable sense of joy. And that is what this passage that is before us this morning, the passage of the wise men, or as the Bible actually describes them, the Magi. It's what this story from Matthew's gospel is all about. We normally associate the wise men with the Christmas story. As Sharon indicated earlier, we link the Magi with the angels and the shepherd, and so in our Living Nativity presentation, the Magi are always present, but the fact of the matter is, even as Matthew's gospel tells us, after Jesus was born, most likely it was sometime after Jesus was born, the Magi made their way from the east to Bethlehem. Most likely they were astrologers who watched the evening sky for signs that might help them to see some new understanding of what was about to dawn in the world. And as Matthew's gospel clearly explains to us, on one night they saw a particularly bright star that signaled to them the birth of a newborn king. So over As we sing during the Christmas season, field and fountain, moor and mountain, they followed that yonder star until it led them to Jerusalem in Judea, the political center of the region, the religious center of God's people, the very place where if you had asked the Magi before they had taken a single step on their journey, a most likely destination would have been Jerusalem. If you're anticipating the birth of a newborn king, where else would you go but to Jerusalem? The only problem was there was already a king in Jerusalem. His name was Herod, a half-breed Jew, an Idumean by ethnicity, not Jewish, a puppet king who had been put upon Judea's throne by Caesar as a way of maintaining control of that what could be troublesome territory. And so understandably, Herod was the kind of ruler who was always paranoid and insecure and concerned about his ability to maintain his authority. He knew that he would never have the respect of the Jewish people. So he did everything in his power to be able to maintain control so that Rome would not remove him. You can understand then why these visitors from the east who appear on his doorstep asking the whereabouts of this newborn king. We have seen his star in the sky and we've come to worship him. You can understand why that would have unnerved a paranoid, insecure ruler like Herod. And immediately Herod knew in his bones, I must come up with some sort of plan to deal with this threat in the same way, I promise you, Herod had dealt with all other threats to his rule. History tells us that Herod was, in fact, so ruthless, he murdered his own sons out of fear that they would be a part of an insurrection that would remove him from power. The saying was, among the Jews, it was, as you would understand, something of a joke, better to be one of Herod's pigs, because as a non-Jew, he ate pork, better to be one of Herod's pigs than to be one of his own sons. Herod knew nothing. He knew not diddly squat about where a newborn king, a Christ child, would be born. And so Matthew tells us that he gathered together all of the chief priests and scribes and began to inquire of them, where is this child to be born? And when they told him, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. In the land of Judea, out of you, Bethlehem, shall come one who shall be ruler of my people. Herod dispatched the Magi to Bethlehem, but with this request, go to Bethlehem and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, return to me that I too may come and worship him. It doesn't take much of a detective, does it, to be able to see through Herod's scheme, identify the place where this potential threat lives, Give me the details and I will send my henchmen to do what henchmen do to expunge this threat that I may rule securely another day. What Herod was not banking on is what this Sunday is all about. The reason the Magi come from the East, non-Jews themselves, to seek after the Messiah is that the child born in Bethlehem, whose birth we celebrated just a matter of weeks ago, is not just the King of the Jews, he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And the reason that this story is so significant is because of how it reminds us that paranoid, insecure rulers will never have the last word. God will have the last word. And God has already declared that last word through His Word that became flesh. The Lord Jesus, who is the light of life, the light that shines in the darkness, who is the desire of every nation, who is God's revelation of His mercy and His grace and the means by which we experience God's abundant favor and His immeasurable joy. Matthew tells us that when the Magi finally made it to Bethlehem and were able to behold the child for whom they were searching, verse 10 in the second chapter, it's very important. Our English translations really don't do the verse justice. I mean, it's a nice translation. I don't care what translation you use, NIV, ESV, KJV, NASB. They were overwhelmed with joy. That's nice. But there is a redundancy in the original language that our English translations feel this need to clean up. More literally, when the Magi found the Christ child, they rejoiced with an exceedingly great joy. In part because they had reached the end of their destination. Well, we finally made it to Bethlehem. But in part because they had seen with their own eyes and experienced in their own lives God's nearness, God's authority, the good future that God was awakening in this child, the opportunity to connect with God in a way that makes one mindful of God's abiding presence, to be able to experience the nearness of God in every moment, every circumstance, every situation, in a fashion that results in immeasurable joy. This morning we begin a new year. And as we look at this story on this Epiphany Sunday, you could not see a greater contrast between characters in a story than the Magi, who diligently search after the Christ child on the basis of revelation that had been made known to them. And a petulant, paranoid, insecure king who is only concerned about feathering his own nest and maintaining the status quo. We read a story like this. Perhaps this is just Doug. And if it's just Doug, then let Doug be confessional this morning.
The tendency for Doug is to read this story and to identify with the Magi. I'm always seeking after Jesus. Maybe I'm the only one in the room this morning. I doubt this. There's a little bit of Herod in me. And my guess is, perhaps God will reveal this to you. There's a little bit of Herod in you too. How do I protect my own turf? How do I make sure that I assert my authority and maintain control? How do I do what I have to do to be able to get what I think is coming to me? Does any of this sound familiar? You don't see these on resolutions, but do they not sound familiar? When this story is telling us that in order to experience the joy for which all of us yearn, for which all of us yearn, it's not by grasping. It's by being open and receiving what God chooses to give. It's not by self-promotion. By humbling ourselves and bowing ourselves before God's gift of Jesus Christ and worshiping Him, even as we worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not by following the ways of the world and doing what everyone around us is telling us is the right thing to do and the right way to go. It's doing what God gives us to do, and it's going where God gives us to go. Perhaps one of the unsung glories of this passage of Scripture is how the Magi, once they see and worship and offer their gifts to Jesus, go home by another route, not the route that Herod gave them. Maybe some of us need to become more resolved to follow God instead of the route that the world gives us. For only then will we know God's abiding presence and His immeasurable joy. It's a new year. And we all want to become better people. And I trust better believers. That's what drew you to the church on this first Sunday of the year. I really do want to experience God in a way that is transforming. Lose the weight and drop the bad habit. And learn the new skill. Nothing wrong with any of those things. As long as at the top of your list, you make sure that you put pursue Jesus. And as you do, lay all other motives before Jesus as if you were offering Him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then would you not only be wise, you would be faithful. And in return, you would leave each day to go about your life as God directs you in ways that afford you abundant joy. And to do that would result in for you an epiphany in the best sense of the word that nothing else in life would be able to match. Nothing other than God in you.